We're studying through the book of Ecclesiastes, and this morning we've come to chapter 11. So if you would please turn there. Last week we looked at chapter 10, verses 8 through 20, and it's in a section where Solomon is talking about living by wisdom or living foolishly. And we saw that God has given us, each of us, a lot in life. And that lot in life, the life that we're supposed to live, is different, you know. And it's going to vary according to, you know, what our jobs are, where we go to school, our family backgrounds. It's going to vary according to our own gifts and abilities. But we have this life that God has given us to live in this world, and this world doesn't function the way we feel it ought to function. And Solomon has earlier said that there are crooked things in this world, and that the crooked things are never going to be made straight. And so because of that we saw last week that there are unexpected dangers. And some of them are great, great dangers or difficulties. You know, he says you could be digging a ditch and the ditch collapse on you. You could be tearing down a stone wall and there'll be a snake in that wall and the snake bites you. You could be cutting down a tree and the tree could fall on you. And if those types of things can happen, how then should we live? Okay, that's what he was dealing with in the previous section. And he says, understanding that this is our world, then what we need to do is figure out what's the best way to live in a world that's not functioning right. Understand how this world works or fails to work. Understand, he gave an illustration, that a sharp axe cuts wood better than a dull axe. Okay. And so what then would a wise person do in that type of a situation? Sharpen the axe. Okay, so understand what's going on and make a plan. Yeah, okay. I'll sharpen the axe. That'll work. But then you got to, what you got to do? Not only make the plan, what do you got to do? You got to work the plan. Right, so you got to go ahead and sharpen the axe. And then he says, don't put off till tomorrow what you need to do today. If you find the snake nest, don't delay. Deal with it. And then he said, okay, if you're in a situation and you don't have the knowledge base to be able to deal with it in wisdom, what should you do? Seek wisdom. Find a wise counselor. There are people who give you foolish counsel. Don't go to them. Go to the one who understands how this world works and how it functions, and then learn from them. And then he says, adapt to unforeseen situations. You know, you got a plan, work your plan, but sometimes there's that curve in the road. Don't go straight if there's a curve. Adapt. Change your plans according to the circumstances. And then he says, take care of the things under your own dominion. You know, we've all been given realms of authority. And so take care of those things in your dominion. If you got a leak in the roof, what should you do? Fix the leak. It's part of what you're in charge of. Take care of your family. Take care of those your possessions. Be in charge of those in your dominion. Enjoy the good gifts of God. Enjoy the money that He provides. Enjoy the food that He provides. And, you know, and enjoy the drink. And earlier he says, do it with friends. But then be careful that you don't say things you shouldn't say and have attitudes you shouldn't have. Okay, that's what he dealt with last week. And now he moves into chapter 11. And it's a transition. It kind of summarizes things that have gone in the past, and then it leads into his conclusion in chapter 12. Now, in these first six verses, we got to keep in mind three big things. Number one is we're going to die. Number two is life is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. But you don't know the future and you can't control things. And then number three, God knows the future and God's in control. Okay. You're going to die. Life is uncertain and you can't control things. But God is in control. Now, look at our text. Verse number one. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. Okay, so this is kind of interesting that this is his counsel. He's just coming and he's talking about life is uncertain. You don't know what bad thing is going to happen. Now, with that in mind, what we would expect, he would say, since you don't know what's going to happen, since bad things can happen to you and to your stuff, hold on to your possessions really, really tightly. You know, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. So be very, very careful how you live and what you do. But that's not what he says. He says, life is uncertain, but God is certain. Therefore, be bold. Be bold in how you live your life and trust God. Okay. That's the big theme of this section. Life is uncertain, but God is certain. So be bold and trust God. Now, there's a lot of different approaches to the uncertainties in life. You know, that bad things can happen to good people and you can lay your plans and nothing happen. And so one of the ways in which people deal with the uncertainty of life and all the bad stuff is they just kind of curl up in a ball, in a fetal position, and hope everything goes away. And other people, they live in denial. They say, all is good. Nothing bad happens. That's not the right response either. And other people become cynical. They become cynical about life, cynical about God. But Solomon says, don't go that direction. He says, live boldly or live out loud. Be confident. Why? How can we be bold? How can we be confident in a world full of uncertainty? Yeah, because of God. God's in control. We're not, but God is. And when you come to the New Testament, we know that he has said, all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Therefore, we can be bold because we know that God's in charge and he's working all things together for good. Not all things are good, but he's working all the together for good. Now, there are a number of errors that Christians have embraced. One of the errors that Christians have embraced is that man has free will, therefore my life is determined, how things get going in my life is determined by what I do and what other people do. Okay. That is an error. Another error is that because man has free will and because he has not yet exercised his free will, made the choice of what he is going to do, then God doesn't know what he's going to do, and so he's waiting to see what we do, and then he comes in and he cleans up our mess. That's called open theism, and that's not true. There's another fallacy that is, God is sovereign, therefore it really doesn't matter what I do because God's will is going to happen anyway. What the scriptures teach is that God is sovereign and what we do matters. Because God in His sovereignty is going to take what we do and bring to pass His sovereign plan. So we have, what we do is important. But God is overseeing it all, bringing His will to pass. And because God is sovereign, and because He uses my actions to fulfill His purposes, I can act boldly and confidently in this world. Now, when we look at those first two verses, there are two ways that, that commentators understand what's being said here. The first has to do with our approach to work and our investments. We need to be bold in our labor, and we need to be bold in our investments. Because even though life is unpredictable, we can do that. And even though, and the second way is, life is unpredictable, but the proper response to the uncertainties of life is to be generous in our giving. So those are two ways to understand what's being said. There is a Middle Eastern proverb that's very similar to this cast your bread upon the waters. And it had that proverb, the Middle Eastern proverb, has to do with philanthropy. Okay, so what Solomon could be saying is when you work, life is risky, but work hard and you will get a return. Trust me, you will get a return sometime in the future. Cast your bread on the waters and it will return to you many days. Okay, when you're doing investing, life is full of uncertainties. Well, then diversify. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't just do the Magnificent Seven this year. You might want to do something different. Diversify. Or he could be saying life is uncertain, and a wise person works hard, manages their money well, and they're able to meet their needs and some. And so what should you do with the and some? If you see needs, if there are those needs that you are... Be willing to help out. Okay? And he uses, seven and even eight, which means be characterized by generosity. Well, bad things might happen. The stock market might crash. Or the interest rates might go back down to nothing and I can't get anything. I get a 0.5% on the, at the bank on my stuff. But he says, no, remember, who's in control? God is in control. And if you sow, Jesus, Paul said the one who, sows generously, reaps generally. If he sows poorly, he receives poorly. So trust God and meet the needs. Knowing as the proverb said, whoever is generous to the poor, this is Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. God is in control, and we can trust him as we work hard, as we invest, and as we give. Knowing that if we have been blessed, we can bless others, and if we come in need, then God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So what the thrust here is, in the uncertainties of life, be bold Be confident, because God is certain. Verse number 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. Okay, what he's saying here is basically, we don't have much control over our world. Okay, we can look up in the sky and we can see clouds that are filled with rain. But we can't tell it where to drop the rain. We can't tell it to hold off. Oh, clouds, don't drop your rain. I've got to go, you know, on a picnic. Or I want to go play golf. No, if the clouds are full, it's going to rain. And we can't say, oh, let the rain fall on the just, but not on the unjust. We don't control. When the clouds are full, the rain falls. And we don't control where the tree falls. If it falls, it's going to fall where it wants to fall. Now, we might want it to fall on our own property so that we can get the firewood. But we don't control that. We might want the rain to fall so that we can get the fruit and the vegetables. No, it may fall, the tree may fall in my neighbor's yard and he gets the firewood. And the person down the road, their garden is flourishing because they got the rain and we didn't. Okay. So that's what he's saying then there. Okay, so if we can't control these things, how then should we, what's the first thing we ought to do if we can't control these things? If we can't control our little worlds, what's the first thing we ought to do? Let go of it. Admit it. And that's where some of you all struggle. You're not willing to admit that you can't control your world. And so when you don't admit that you can't control your world, what are you going to try to do? You're going to try to control it. But he's saying you can't, if the clouds are full of rain, they are going to empty themselves on the earth. And if the tree falls, it's going to fall where it wants to fall, north or south, east or west. So he's saying, life is uncertain. The crooked things can't be made straight. You don't have control, so admit it and stop trying to control your world and the people in it. Now, after we stop trying to control our world, what should we do then? When we try to control, we're trusting in ourselves and our own ability to manipulate the circumstances or the people that are around us. So we've given up trying to trust in us and what we can do. What then do we do? We trust God. Okay. So how do we get peace in an uncertain world? It's not by living in denial. And it's not trying to control things. The way to peace is to trust God. The way out of worry, we're in the place of worry, and we want to get to the place of peace. How do we do that? Okay, that's part of it. You know, go ahead and do what you need to do and trust God in it. But you can go ahead and do that and still be filled with worry. Okay, worry can paralyze us. Or we can go ahead and do what we're supposed to do and still be filled with anxiety and worry. So how do we get from the place of anxiety and worry to the place of peace? Even before we pray for peace, I think we've got to repent. Okay. We want to skip that. You know, we've got the commands of God. Be anxious for nothing. Okay. What can you gain from worrying? Can you make yourself taller? No, we can't do that. Worrying doesn't do a bit of good. And so he says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. So we repent for our lack of trust. God, I don't trust you on this thing. That, I'm sorry for my unbelief. Forgive me. Start there. Okay. So that's recognizing that the route we have taken, where we've ended up, is bad. It's not what the Lord has for us. And so we've got to turn around. We've got to repent. And then then instead of listening to all the negative voices and the bad things that could happen that causes us to worry and lose our peace, then we focus in on what do we know is true. We know that God is sovereign. And we know that God loves us. And we know that God is all wise. And we know that his promises are true. And he will work these things together for our good. And we know that even if things, the bottom falls out, the best is yet to come. And he is with us in the mess. So we focus in on that. Those things that we know are true. And that will give us the peace that we need. And the peace of God, which will garrison our hearts and minds, be like a guard around our hearts and minds. And that peace of God will permeate our lives. So that we can have a peace that is beyond our comprehension. I don't know why I feel at rest and peace. And this, my whole world is falling apart. Because God has come in and met us. And then thirdly, so we've got this repent, this remind us of truth. And I think we need to kind of pray that truth in. But third is do something like pray the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. You remember that prayer? It's, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and I wrote it down, and then the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, so there are things that we can change. And there are things that we can't change. And we need to be able to discern which one is which. And if we can change things, go ahead and change them. If we can't change them, then don't worry about it. Leave that to God. A lady by the name of Amy Carmichael, some of you are familiar with her. She was a missionary to India. And she was bedridden for over 30 years. And she wrote a poem by the name of In Acceptance Lieth Peace. And so it's accepting your circumstances. That's where peace lies. And so that's one worth looking up and reading that. It's more difficult for me to read, so I'll read you another one, in Acceptance Lieth Peace by Hannah Hernard. This is what she wrote concerning that. In acceptance lieth peace. O my heart, be still. Let thy restless worry cease and accept his will. Though this test may not be thy choice, it is his. Therefore, rejoice. In his plan, there cannot be aught to make me sad. If this is his choice for thee, take it and be glad. Make from it some lovely thing to the glory of thy King. Cease from sighs and murmuring. Sing his loving grace. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From thy fears he'll give release. In acceptance lieth peace. Okay, so we go through the difficult situations, and we like to push and put, and we fight them and fight them and fight them. He said, just accept them from your loving Heavenly Father. And when we accept it, that then we'll get the peace that we so desperately want. Verse number 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Pretty simple. We don't sow seeds like they did back then. So the sower would have that big pouch of seed, and he would go and sow it in his field in the different places. Okay, if the wind is blowing, what's going to happen to the seed? Is it going to land where he wants it to land? No, it's not going to. Okay, so he says, but don't be always looking at the wind, trying to figure out what's, you know, or you won't ever sow. Or he says in here, he who regards the clouds will not reap. Okay, so if you've got wheat and you cut the wheat and it rains, it ruins everything. Okay, so that's what he's saying. He says, don't watch the wind and don't watch the clouds. Meaning, don't get paralyzed with perfectionism, where you're waiting for the perfect time to do the work. Okay? Or I've got to do it perfectly. And this situation won't allow me to do it perfectly. So if I can't do it perfectly, then I'm not going to do it. No, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. No, yes, yes. Okay, some of you all, who's here a perfectionist? Raise your hand if you that's your bit, perfectionism. Okay, so you want to do it perfectly. Well, I can't do it perfectly, so what happens to the perfectionists? They don't do anything. So if it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. Just go ahead and do it poorly, because not doing anything, nothing's done. Okay, so reject perfectionism. And then also, don't be paralyzed by the what ifs. What if such and such happens? Something might happen. Okay. Life is uncertain. God is certain. Yeah. Don't try to read the wind and the clouds. Live boldly. Don't be paralyzed by perfectionism or the what ifs. I think if we go in a sense to the what ifs, we'll live a life of I wonder what if I had gone ahead and done it. You know, in chapter 3, Solomon says, look, there's a season for everything. You know, time for everything. There is a time to sow and there is a time to reap. So he says, understand the time. If God has given you seed and it's time to sow, what should you do? Sow. If the crop is grown and it's time to reap, what should you do? Reap. Understand the season and do what you're supposed to do in that season. If it's a time to dance, what should you do? But I don't have my dancing shoes. Doesn't matter. It's the time to dance. Go barefooted. It's, you know, don't be taken up with what you can't know. Do what you're supposed to do and trust God. Now, Jesus tells the parable of the talents in Matthew, where you've got a guy. He's going to go on a long business trip, or maybe he's going to take a cruise around the world or something. And he calls three of his guys together, and he gives them talents, money. He gives one 5 talents. It's a whole lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he gives another 2 talents, and then he gives another 1 talent. And then he comes back, and they report in. And the guy that got 1 talent, what did he do? He buried it. He put that money under the mattress of his bed. Why would he do that?
Scared
to lose it. I might make a bad investment and lose my master's, my boss's money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to protect it. I'll put it in a hole in the ground, or I'll put it under my mattress, so it will be there when my master gets back. Was the master happy? No, he was not happy. He wanted him to take that, which he had been given, and use it. Be bold in it. He said, you didn't even put it in the bank and get 0.5% interest. And did you know you could get over 5% doing a CD? But you put it under your mattress. And so he was upset. God has given us things, and he wants us to use it. But the world's so scary and so uncertain. And God says, trust me. So kind of a summary of what he's saying in these verses is be bold in your living and bold in your giving and trust God. Stop trying to control things and control people. Stop doing that and trust God. And reject perfectionism, reject being paralyzed by the what ifs, and trust God. Now, let me give you a parable, a proverb that Solomon said. This is a good check on this. This is from Proverbs 21. He said, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those who are hasty, surely to poverty. Okay. He said, don't be foolish and just run out and do anything. Really be diligent in your planning. Understand how this world works, how it functions, and make good plans. Diligent plans lead to plenty. Haste surely leads to poverty. Verse number 5. As you do not know the way of the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb, or as you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. There's another translation of that which makes it a little bit more clear, and I think it may be the best translation. It's as you do not know the path of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Okay, so what he's saying here is there's a limit to our understanding of the natural world. Okay, and this the temporal things of this earth. We don't understand how the wind blows and where it goes, and we don't understand how bones are formed in the womb. Okay. And just as we don't understand those things in the natural realm, the temporal realm, there are spiritual things we don't understand as well. So understand that there are limits. And so what Solomon wants us to do is to admit it. Admit that there are things that we don't know and things that we can't know. Deuteronomy 29 talks about that there are secret things and there are revealed things. The secret things belong to God and the revealed things belong to us. So there are things that we cannot know, that God's not going to reveal to us. But the things he does reveal, those are ours. Now let me read a psalm, and I've read this one before, but it's a very important one. Psalm 131. The psalmist says, Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I've calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. Okay. So what the psalmist is saying, there are things that are too awesome, too big, that are beyond my comprehension. And so what I'm going to do in those situations, my hope is not in me trying to figure those things out, trying to maybe figure out what God is doing and why God is doing what he's doing, why he has allowed such and such to happen. Okay. I can't go there. That's one of the secret things. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to calm and quiet my soul. So that's activity. It's not going passive. It's my soul, you're getting all in turmoil, and I am going to calm and quiet you so that you become like a child that's weaned, just being held by mama. Nice and peace. Mama's got this, and I'll just rest. Daddy's got this, and I'll rest. Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, not in your ability to understand, not in your ability to control. Put it in God and rest. Okay. Verse 6. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know what will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Okay. So I think this is kind of a summary point. He's saying, work hard, but don't put all your eggs in one basket because you don't know what's going to happen. God might bless this or God might bless that. You don't know. Now, I like a lot of you, you know, we'll make out a list of things that I want to do. Got to-do lists. And Gail went off for a couple of days to visit a new grandson. And so I had my to-do list of things I wanted to get done around the house. See if this has ever happened to you. You have your list, and it's as though Murphy's Law has been reenacted in every situation. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. You ever had those days? So I have this list. And what I thought, nothing. You know, I've had days in which everything just seemed boom, boom, and that's amazing. Everything worked like the way it's supposed to. But when Gail, nothing worked the way it was supposed to. Everything could go wrong, did go wrong. And so I got this passage I'm working on. You know, it made me want to write things on my list and just scratch them off. You know, that type, you know, but what this did is it helped me, okay, 6 and 7, you know, you don't know what God is going to bless. So it helped me gain the patience, find the patience that I lost. Okay. And okay, Carter, just work, just try, and if God might bless something, well, he eventually blessed one thing. It's because I called a wise man. Trowel Plumbing, and they came out and fixed that thing, but that was the only thing that got fixed, and I didn't even do it. Yeah, and so there will be times like this. Okay, so he says, work hard and do different, and see what God will bless. You don't know. Life is uncertain. Things don't always work the way they're supposed to work. The race doesn't always go to the swift. You know, and sometimes, you know, as he says, you know, the best army doesn't always win. The best team doesn't win the game, except for last night when Tennessee played Kentucky in basketball. Things worked out the way they're supposed to. The righteous don't always prosper. Sometimes the good die young. That's our world. So how do we live in that type of a world? How do we find peace or comfort in the uncertainty? You know, it's not by pondering the what ifs in life. It's not by trying to remove all the uncertainties. It's not trying to figure out God's secret plan. It's not doing what some people did in chapter 7, live in denial, then go to the house of mirth and just kind of drown their pleasures or numb themselves to what's going on. That's not the way in which we deal with it. Comfort is found in God. The certainty of His promises. God is in control. And His promises is, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. His promise is, I am working all things together for good. His promise is, this might be bad, but the best is yet to come. And when we grasp that, that gives us peace. It gives us confidence to live life boldly in this world and life of uncertainty. Let me close with this. He's saying in this text, if we're cowards, if we're control freaks, if we're perfectionists, or if we're lazy, we're going to always have a reason why we can't do the will of God. We're always going to come up with a reason why we can't plant or why we can't reap. We're always going to come up with a reason why we can't live boldly, why we must hoard things rather than give. You know, why we can't do what God wants us to do. Why we dads got to continue to exasperate our kids. Why we can't love our spouse. You know, why we can't do whatever it is that He wants to do. Fools make excuses. Wise people repent and trust God. What do you need to repent of? What area do you need to trust God in?